So I have to have proof because I went to, like I said, I went to multiple hospital visits. Once I got to Tennessee, the spots occurred again on my skin. It wasn't as bad as the first initial rash, but the second time it was more itchier. And I didn't put food in it on it the first time I did, and that seemed to help. I took a bath in food, which was odd because I've really never done that myself. I just had a thought and I was like, go get some forbidden fruit. So, some apples, some oranges, some grapefruits, a watermelon, and mangoes. Cut it off, took a bath in it, and took the inflammation away, and I would rub it on my skin. And I kid y'all not, it would burn, so to speak. But it was like that good burn. Like, it was taking the inflammation out because after that, my skin sort of wasn't rough. It helped. I just said it. So when I got here, I didn't do that the second time because I felt so traumatized because I was like, he left, the kids left. Now my children are in this situation. I'm here with family, yes. I'm back in my hometown, but I feel so off. Like I said, I started having contractions in December. I went to the hospital before that. I do believe, yeah, I went to the hospital once I hit my hometown. I went to the hospital, a different hospital, because I was told that it was because of a certain hospital, a particular thing, and that was by a particular person. That I couldn't get through, so I went to another hospital. The hospital said the same thing when I'm pregnant. And I was like, what in the hell is going on? Still no proof. But I'm being constantly reminded, you know, take precaution. Don't lift heavy things. Don't do this. Don't do that. It's coming in my thoughts like a wave of thoughts. Don't do this. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Don't do this. Oh, God, too. It's, I love Texas. Still to this day. You know, and being told, don't lift heavy things. And whatever. I'm just now starting to lift heavy things. And that could be the difference. Because I will purposefully sometimes put weight on myself because I'm just like, I don't care. There's no possible way that I'm pregnant. There's no baby. And I'm not going to talk about it. It's my first chance that I talk about it, so to speak, this deep to myself. Like I said, I'm just recording. There's no guarantee that I'm not going to post this. But, I've been with the heavy stuff. I've been been thinking about getting back into my exercises, going back to the gym, putting a waist trainer on, even though I feel like a lot of times my belly is full. Like, okay, to a pregnant woman, you will only understand from the whole time since I left Texas, when I eat specifically certain foods, I feel like my stomach's moving. Okay? Make sense? No, not quite. So keep it moving. Like right now, I am currently sitting leaning on my side. And so, as I'm leaning, like my stomach is sitting in my lap, but I feel like a pressure down underneath. Now, if you were looking at my belly after I had eaten, you can see, give it some time, and you'll see after I get to like a restful state, and it's like you'll see like the movement. It actually looks like a baby is moving. And where I am right now, I'm trying not to focus on it, so I just try to not pay attention to it. And I've been warned, I've been told that several times that I was going to do this, that I was going to get to the point of where I had so much unbelief that I was just actually going to eventually lose the kids and they were going to die or pass or not make it. And that was my fear. And I cried about it and I was like, Lord, I want to lose my babies and then I'm here. Still my treasure. Still my just my two. Still to this day. No kids haven't been to the hospital in a minute. So, haven't been to the hospital to give birth, okay? I went three separate occasions to try to prove this. And then the third time, my sign record was messing up, which has not happened in the longest time. I was healed. I kid y'all not from that ordeal. But why all of a sudden my side of the started messing up? Because I can't sleep. Except for on one side. Well, my hips, they hurt. I sleep on one side and it hurts. But I have to rotate between my left and my right, and I can't sleep on my back because it literally feels like pressure is being bottled up in my stomach. It feels like a baby. Like if you're pregnant, remember when you know how of experience of where if you lay on your back and you're pregnant and the baby just crawls up into a ball and it feels like a little fist in your stomach, that's what it feels like. So I can't lay on my back for 2 weeks. I can't lay up. It's as strange as a currency, but no matter change. I am not Jesus. There is no proof. And like I said, until there is proof, until there is sex, until doctors come from, excuse me, the people with the scientific degrees that come to school for 8 years who can't explain unexplained miracles that everybody believes in them, and those people, until an actual doctor comes for us with proof on the paper, nobody will believe in us. So, I'm here to tell the story. Like I've always told it, no changes. You know why? I won't lie. I refuse to lie. Unless in the case that children come out, then of course I may possibly concoct up a lie. I may find me a boyfriend and be like, yes, he is. because who is going to believe me that a guy that I slept with over 2 years ago that is still father? Like, we ain't going to be sleeping together either. I'm just be like, yeah, I've been with him and he's the child's father. It's not like I can go to my ex and be like, hey, so, you know, about that pregnancy, so I gave birth eventually, you know, and they're yours, they look like you, but, you know, I expect you to believe me, like, the catechism isn't true, like, yeah, that don't make sense. That's the only way that I would possibly lie, because I've been called crazy so much. I've been called crazy so much. My people that I love, that I trusted, to my face and behind my back. And I don't expect anything else of my ex. I'm pretty sure he feel like I lied to him about the babies, about the whole idea, about the whole situation. Even though I wanted it badly, because at first, and let me explain that, because if you go back further to my Texas story, I was talking about how there's multiple stories. I'm going to end this out there because I talked about how when we first had sex, that I didn't want it. So let me clear that up before that becomes a problem. If I ever do decide to post this, which I should, maybe I should really post this today. But there was no rape involved. There was no force. When I say I didn't want it, I made it seem like that, but that wasn't the result. Okay, what I was saying was merely on this case of I was distracted, and I really don't know how to explain it, because I was in fear of my life, because I was at that point of where I trusted my body to God, and I was like, if I give my body away to some random regular devil or man, I'm hurting God's feelings. I'm hurting. I'm going back on everything that I said. I said that I was going to save my body and my life for my husband. Up until this point, I dedicated myself. And I'm quoting on this, but, you know, I kind of made a vow and spoke out of my mouth, basically, you know, that if I directly offend God, I would rather God take my life than for me to defend him, for me to offend him. And I had repeated that after somebody, and lo and behold, my life was in danger. Ish. At risk, I say that. But, yeah. It was like from that moment, it was like we were kissing and we were touching, and he started talking, and it happened so quickly, and it was like, I had multiple thoughts, and I was like, go ahead with it, don't do it, go ahead with it, don't do it, go ahead with it. It was like in a cartoon where like the angel or the devil was on his shoulder. It may have been the same voice. And I was like, yeah, go ahead, don't do it, go ahead, don't do it, go ahead, don't do it. I was like, you know you're on a celibacy journey, don't do it. And it was like, and then it was just like silence. And then that was when it started, and it was just like, I was stunned because I was like, I didn't expect it. I did it and I didn't. But people say, like, you're an adult. You understand what sex is. You know, to tell you the truth, until you've been into that experience to where you know you're about to make a mistake and you try to stop the mistake, but you feel like something else, like not really demon possessed, but not really possessed, but you just like freeze. And it's not, as I will never, ever, ever come to him to say that he took advantage of me, never, not never. Whether he come back or not, he did not ever take advantage of me. I wanted it at that point. I was just confused because I was like, is this my husband? I haven't got proof. And at the same time, I'm like, if this is my husband, why are we married? Like, all of these thoughts started to, like, rush in. And it was like, and I think I even, like, when it was over, I even, like, flirted with him because I did not want him to feel off about my decision, or to feel like be swayed, like to not like me, because I was confused. And so as that's where the battle was, of where I was just like, no, he's my husband, no, he's not, no, he's my husband, but he's in my dreams, he's the first person I dreamt about, he's the only person I dreamt about like this, to this extent. And his character, and going off of what I thought of what I felt, God told me, and seriously, she's like, this is an abomination, this is crazy. And so, after like multiple times, I was just like, because I fell in love with him, that was the truth. I honestly, guys, I'm the truth. I tried to stop myself, but because I fell in love with him, with him and give it over after that. And at that point, that's when it stopped, because it was like I was praying and I was just like, I feel convicted, because I was like, there's other issues and I don't want to talk about this story anymore after that makes sense, because there's still other issues that might have come to that, and I don't really want to put that pressure ever on him, or that burden on him, because he may not understand all of my side of story. Like, who gives their life? Like, I wouldn't say I was currently having sex up until the date that I gave my life to Christ, because I was technically quote unquote married, but up until the divorce, I was single. And I don't expect him to understand that I sat down and I read a vow to God, and I was like, my body is yours, God. From now on until my husband comes, and told the God that you put it preordained for me comes, I don't give my body to anybody else. I don't expect him to understand that or to know that or to learn that. So I wouldn't ever give him the chance to put that pressure on him to be like, you forced me to make a decision or you forced me to follow him. No, it wasn't about him. It was about me, so to speak, because I was confused because it was just so many details of like you had a truck in him and then there. And then it was just like, interesting. And the one thing out of this whole story that I am so confused at is the angel talk. Is the angel talk. Now, I'm talking about it multiple times, and I said I'm going to end this. The nuts. My mom and I'm gonna whisper this because I was, again, I feel so silly talking about this. To my knowledge, I never had an angel visit me, so to speak, up until that baby incident. So, up until my marriage. Okay, so it was an odd occurrence. The room where I was in the shower and I heard the voice. And it was like, there's a trap set for you and your husband. You need to be aware. And I was like, okay, me and my future husband were preparing. It was like, stay in prayer. And it was giving me certain details that I can't lay out because I don't remember, thank God, because I do not want to tell anything without permission. But before I met him, I talked about that before. I had a voice in the shower, and I said, that's how God speaks to you when you're in the shower or when you're in the bathroom with people. And he'll speak to you in a calm voice. And to my knowledge, I was speaking with Jesus. And I wrote the truth, the trap that was set, the web that was entangled. And before I met him, or this guy, I can't say there's proof, but this is just going off of what I heard. So I met him and then all of this happened. That was the first odd occurrence, and then there was the baby, the angel taking the baby away, which I clearly saw and felt. Like, I felt that push, and I felt like something was coming over my stomach. And I know I'm going to talk because it's weirding me out. It's freaking me out just remembering about it. That was the second time. Third time, it was not a voice, but because y'all know, I was sitting there reading my Bible. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. And I was sitting there and I was reading my Bible, and something touched my foot. My kids were not in the room. My kids were not. They were not in the room, and they would sleep. But they was not allowed. I was just at the table. And I think I was thinking, it was something touched my foot. And it was like it ran behind the dresser. I was like, I went to pray, and I was like, you kidding me? I don't know what the. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, and then the other instance was the one. I think I talked about it before. When an angel was talking about the voice was telling me that I had help, basically. I don't remember everything. Okay, that was coming back to my memory, and I feel so dumb saying this. I feel so dumb. Maybe it should come first. I don't know. Because this one was different. I mean, I told that story about how And I heard the voice telling me once I got once I've spoken twice, you heard that it's your husband or told you the story. I don't think I ever told this one. I don't know.